On Sirius XM Channel 141, I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about staying out of trouble on social media platforms. How do we deal with the risks versus the temptation to put our thoughts and our business out there in cyberspace? My guest tonight is Lauren Reynolds. She's a digital strategist and social media expert. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Brandy calling from Falls Church. Hey, Brandy, what's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Well, I've been listening into the radio stations most of the time on my way home from work, but I found tonight's topic fairly interesting, so I decided to call in.
Well, thank you.
I'm 34 years old, and I haven't used social media in 10 years, since I was about 24 years old. So I'm speaking from a younger generation's perspective. I have two children, and it's not so much of us being careful of the words that we use when we put it out there, because there's really less to no recourse. You know, you have a platform to say it, and it you lose the ability to even learn how to properly communicate. And one thing that I've learned is I have to lead by example. Social media is not going anywhere. It's out there. It's already here. You know, our kids are going to be using it. But how I lead by example in my household is I don't dip into the temptation. So if I don't, you know, I just don't use it at all because of the harm that it can cause. And it's not so much about what you put out there, but sometimes what you see. You know, that's just as much as junk food as what comes out of your mouth. So sometimes you have to be careful of what you see as well and what you read, because that's junk food for the mind as well. So I leave it. I just keep it completely out of my house. I know in some way, shape, or form, I have an older daughter who's 16. She's going to, you know, want to indulge in social media at some point. But while you're living in my house, it's off the table. So I just wanted to speak from a younger perspective, so it's just not, you know, 50 and older, like, oh, we, you know, some folks don't use social media when you're up in age a little bit. But I'm 34 years old, and I haven't touched it in 10 years.
Okay. Brandy, thank you so much. Let's talk about that. I think she makes an excellent point, because sometimes you can't unsee what comes across your social media platform.
Sometimes you can't unsee it. There are filters, and there's, you know, barriers that you can put up between things that you want to see in your timeline and things that you don't. But you're right. I mean, self-care is everything. I mean, there are people who, I mean, they're showing all kind of torture and animal cruelty. There's all kind of things that you can see on there. And if you allow yourself to stay in a timeline all day long and seeing all kind of things, I mean, mentally it has an effect on you. It takes a toll on you.
I mean, how many twerk videos can you see?
Exactly. I think it's interesting. You said your daughter is 16 when she wants to, and then you went on to say she can when she has her own home. Has she expressed the interest now? She's not off.
She's already disconnected. But go ahead and make your point, though.
Yeah. Well, she was talking about her daughter, who was 16 years old, who she said when she expresses, and I'm just interested, I think it's interesting that she's saying that she's 16, because most people are really heavily into it
by that time. And maybe she should check her phone.
Maybe so.
Because I mean, I think that's the reality, because if a parent isn't participating, and we've had this discussion on this program before, the platforms that our teens and even preteens are using go far beyond Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And there are apps and other forms of social media communication that those of us of a certain age have no idea.
Right, exist, right. I mean, it's meant to be fun. Social media is meant to not be so deep and to be fun in a way to communicate and connect, especially young kids, too, who may or may not even have cell phones, but they have these apps, like you said, that they can continue to keep in touch with one another once they're home from school, things like that. But it's about, when you're a young child, the parents and the supervision, you know, what type of boundaries and limitations that you set for your children. When it comes to adults and how we use it, I mean, we have that choice, whether we're just being engaging, you know, we're talking and communicating with one another, staying in touch with one another, or are we using it to just be a platform to spew whatever it is that we want, our belief, you know, whatever it is that we want to. What makes a difference in that as well, though, is how many followers that you have. I mean, if you're talking about something that's relevant and people want to hear, obviously your audience grows. If you have a small audience, well, you're not really talking to anybody. But
good point. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. 1-0. Michael, calling from Baltimore, what's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I just want to say that, you know, people are really comfortable with the idea of having freedom of speech, mm-hmm. but I think they'll find a lot of times that there's a cost to pay for that. And oftentimes it's too late once you put it out there. Me, myself, I, you know, try not to do anything too provocative online. I try to keep it PG at least.
Mm-hmm. Very wise.
Well, there you go. Good point, Michael. Wise. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Cooper, calling from Rockville. What's on your mind?
How y'all doing today? Cooper. I was just saying, you know, I agree 100% that you have too many people that's not responsible when they get on social media. I'm on Facebook, but I do it because I like to read news and everything and voice my opinion. But as far as, like, what we are talking about, how some people are irresponsible, they put too much of their business out there, their dirt, you know, it makes me wonder why you do that. Last week, I just had to get one of my cousins off of Facebook because he was going through something in his marital problem. I had to tell him, ho, get off Facebook and call me, because I was like, you're putting too much of your business out there. And I told him that's not the place to be venting in your frustration and anger about your marriage. Mm-hmm. And all like that. I mean, I think when people start, not just kids, but even adults, I think when they get on there and they start being irresponsible and talking about, you know, their personal life and other things, their anger, frustration, they don't realize that, you know, they're setting themselves up. And then sometimes whatever you're talking about, it can come back and bite you in the tail later on down the road.
Well said. Absolutely. Well said, Cooper. Thank you so much. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, Facebook, and he just, you know, mentioned his family. I mean, it's breaking up a lot of relationships and marriages out there because people are putting all of their business out there. Instead of talking to your spouse or your loved one or whoever you're in a relationship with, you want to put polls and questions and things on your and post that about what, you know, what's going on in your relationship. Just causes more strife. And those are the things you just have to be more careful. You know, Facebook is not for that. You use discretion. And I'm glad he pulled his people to the side and said, hey, we need to talk on the phone. Let's take this down. Because it's not for that.
Pull him to the cyber side. Pull him to the cyber side,
yeah.
Cooper. So good job. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tina calling from Oklahoma Hi. City. Hey, Tina, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I will try to make this brief. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, we had Facebook when it first came about, me and my family of six. And what I realized, each person, we all had cell phones, and it was a huge disconnect in the family home. No one was paying attention to each other. Everyone is connected to this social media outlet. And that was a huge deal for me. It was a problem. So we all shut Facebook down. And to the lady's comment earlier about who do you follow, friends, family, or the news, the thing about it is each of those outlets produce negative outcomes. And so it doesn't really matter who you're following. It's all out there. And I think those of us that are strong enough to be able to handle that negative, that we have a duty that we should guide those.
Hold on, Tina. Let me back up a minute. I'm not sure I understood you clearly. You said friends, family, or the news always produce negative outcomes. Is that what you said?
Meaning that every time you turn on the news, it's a hostile. It's a fight. Someone's dying. There's a lot of negative.
But you also included friends and family in that category. I'm trying to understand that.
Okay. Friends and family produce a lot of negative on social media. And as we talk about our children and the words and what they say, we have young women posting selfies of themselves with, you know, no clothes. There's no guidance. Kids are saying whatever they want to say on Facebook. They're fighting. They're recording each other. Fighting, you know, every outlet, yes, it is our homes, it is our friends, and it is our families. It is our community. We are doing these things to ourselves.
I totally agree with you that you can find all those things online, but you can within anything too. I mean, it's not all negative, but I definitely agree with you. I mean, you turn on the news, self-care is everything. So you do have to limit what you see, because you can see violence, negativity, and all those things through whoever that you follow online. But it doesn't have to be that way. It's not that way all the time. There are some positives that come out of that. You know, I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. I've only lived here for 3 years. You know, no one else is here. All of my family is in Kentucky. And so the way that I'm able to keep up with family and just events or things that I can't personally be at is through social media. Those things are a delight for me, you know, because I'm able to at least see how people are doing and see what took place even in my absence. Even with news, I mean, things that you didn't know were happening or going on. I find I don't watch the, you know, now you can just go online and expect what's important to find you, right? We don't have to wake up and make sure we turn on the news or listen to the radio or grab a newspaper. We know that when, as soon as we get online, whatever is important will find us, right? And that's the way these news outlets, that's the way it works. So, I mean, it just has to, I mean, that's just a balance.
You know? And Tina, you know, there's an old saying, you know, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. But you can pick who you follow on social media. And certainly if you're following your friends and there are negative outcomes, or you're following your family and their negative outcomes, I think that says less about social media and more about your family and friends. Because, you know, I follow my mom. I'm not seeing naked pictures of my mom on social media. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and yeah, I may have some friends that, if I may use the word, yeah, they may be a little ratchet. But then I have some others that are really very, very, you know, positive. So I don't think that you can fully condemn social media for the actions. If you're talking about, and I'm not talking about the news, as a news person, I know, it's not always rainbows and flowers in the news. But when you're talking about your family and friends, take a look at them and not so much social media.
You can unfollow and you can also block.
That's right. You can most certainly do that. So,
and I agree. And that's why I totally agree with you, too. This is a great conversation for me, but I know I got to hurry. But that's why I added on the end of that, those of us that are strong enough to be able to handle that, we should reach out to those and support them, because there's something to be said about why this behavior is happening.
But the other side of that also is that often, and I'm sure that Lauren, you would agree with this, that social media does allow people a sense of protection where they can say what they want, do what they want, and not always be responsible. Mm-hmm. For how they react. Mm-hmm.
It's truly a sounding board. I mean, if it's your personal page, it's like freedom of speech. It's your personal page. You don't like what I say, don't follow me.
Mm-hmm. Or I can say to you here, I'm not, and I don't know if your hairstyle is really that flattering. And you say, well, gosh, you don't think so?
Right.
But if I said it to you on social media, I don't know what kind of colorful metaphors I may hear, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, because you're on the other side of the computer. You're not in front of me.
But then what you subject yourself to is anyone who is my friend that saw what you said about me, mm-hmm, you risk their lashing.
all the way from Louisville, all the way from Louisville, the home of Muhammad Ali. And they can probably fight there, too. So anyway, Tina, thank you so much. I appreciate you sharing with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Katrina calling from Maryland. She says she loves social media, so we'll hear what she has to say. Lines are still open, so give us a call. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about staying out of trouble on social media platforms. Let me go back to the phone lines. Katrina, calling from Maryland.
Yes.
Thanks for calling. Hey, Katrina, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. What's on your mind?
Good. I just got a couple things. I was going to say, I am one of those people. I do love social media. I post probably maybe 3-4 times, maybe 5 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
but here's the thing. It is definitely a balance, and it's a great platform. I believe, to influence people to get informed about things that you possibly perhaps would not have been informed about, not necessarily new, but how people are thinking, how people are living, not bragging or anything like that in terms of their lifestyle, but really where their thoughts are, what they believe in. And sometimes you don't have that opportunity just working with the person, or you don't have that opportunity if you just met that person in the store or whatever. So I find it to be a great platform. I enjoy it. I've talked to strangers even in terms of, like, some young people doing some things that were pretty questionable, whether it was showing their bodies or showing, you know, liquor and drugs and things of that nature. And I personally sent inbox messages to them or just to, you know, see where their head is at. And I've had some positive responses. I also have negative responses, too. But I think just as an older generation, looking at what these younger people are doing, the social media allows us to have an insight to that. And you don't necessarily get that insight just talking to them. So I enjoy it.
And I have to say thank you for even calling in to say that, because there's a lot of positive things that comes out of social media. It's just an additional way to engage with people that you may not ordinarily be able to reach. And just the fact that you said when you see things that are sketchy or questionable, like I do too, I'm 36 years old, I'll be 37, where you see younger kids or youth or whatever posting things where they, you know, no clothes on, alcohol, drugs, like you said, and you send them a message and say, hey, you know, they're not in a place where they're thinking about the fact that the things that they do now can impact them later and are searchable later. You know what I mean? That are searchable later when they're trying to apply for a job or get into grad school or something like that. You know, they don't think about that. So the fact that you even use this to have teachable moments with people is wonderful. So I say thank you, because I do the same thing.
Well, Katrina, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. Let's talk a little bit more, drill down a little bit on that piece, not only getting a job, but keeping a job. Obviously, we talked about the Saturday night situation and the gospel singer situation. But what about folks who, you know, who may have, you may work for the federal government, or you may work for a municipality, or you may work for private, you know, industry that may be very sensitive to their brand and how they are portrayed through their associates? How does that work, and how can that be problematic?
Well, I mean, first of all, most companies have a social media policy in place in your office where you can't do certain things on the company computer. But then there's also companies where, like I was saying earlier, if you represent someone, right? So I have to be careful about the things that I post, because I also represent several other companies and I tweet for them or I post for them. And people know that. So you have to look at, do people associate you with the brand, or are your thoughts yours in and of themselves? You know, it's just a delicate balance. Mm-hmm. It's a delicate balance.
And, you know, I remember, and I'm sure you saw this, this came up last year. There was an elementary school teacher, a black woman in Georgia, first year, and she wore form-fitting dresses, very shapely, very attractive. And there was so much discussion about her shape, that she was, you know, too sexy. And, you know, and I just, you know, you had some of the jokes where, the guys were saying, well, gosh, if she had been my fourth grade teacher, I would have gotten a straight A, because I would have never left class.
Right.
But then you had, you know, others that thought that she was, too provocative and that her clothes were too tight. And so, you know, and then there are other teachers that have literally lost their jobs because they have posted pictures of themselves on vacation, consuming alcohol and not necessarily inappropriate, you know, maybe a dance on the bar or something like that. So, you know, how do you make a decision about being yourself, the human being that you were hired to be, that you were hired for your job, and toning it down? You know, do you have to really examine where you work, understanding not only what's written in the social media policy, but also who you work for and with?
Absolutely. Well, before I say anything else, I want to say, just think twice about what you post, knowing that when you post it online, it can get out, right? It can be found, most likely. But there are precautions that you can take as well on your pages. You can make everything private. you know, to where no one has access to the post, the pictures that you place, except for if they're your friend or, you know, you've accepted them. So you can kind of set parameters. And a lot of these people that we've discussed so far today are all public. All of their profiles were public. All of their posts on Facebook, Twitter were public profiles versus private. So you can keep things personal and then not accept requests from people who you don't know. Otherwise, and you know, the other thing I tell people is that there's no reason, if you're at work, you're at work. There's no reason for you to be friends with your coworkers at work, because the minute someone who doesn't like you and goes on your Facebook page and just go back and find a picture of you doing something, you know, that can bite you, you know, that can come back to bite you. So in terms of a balance and who, what type of person should post or not, it just depends on your job. But if you don't want to be scrutinized or you don't want to be subject to any other type of discipline, then I would not post things that have profanity, where you're, you know, don't have a lot of clothes on, drinking alcohol, or doing something that would be deemed unfavorable to someone else.
And then you have all of these, you know, your major platforms like, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. But the thing that seems to have become very, very popular, and I think to a greater degree, very, very annoying, is Facebook Live. Certainly during, for example, the Women's March on Washington on Saturday, we saw so many posts of what was happening right then and there. During the inauguration, you had so many posts of people that were posting Facebook Live that were supporting the newly inaugurated president, as well as those that were showing protests. And news can't do that because people are there. But then you have, you know, folks that are driving to work and they just decide to pontificate on the way to work. And, you know, what is that? I'm still trying to. I don't even do that. And I talk for a living. Right. I don't do so.
Right. I just think we're in an age where, you know, in terms of like vanity and that people want to be seen and they want to be heard. And Facebook and all these other live platforms are something that they can do that. I know a lot of people who use the live streams for good. And then there's people who just feel like you want to see what their commute to work looks like. I don't. You know?
Unless I'm on the same commute and you're showing me a traffic jam that I have yet
exactly.
to reach.
Exactly. I mean, I've literally watched where people have said, on my way to work, it's a nice day outside, a lot of birds out today. I mean, okay. You know? and these things are, yeah, absolutely ridiculous. But again, I think it's a lot of good, too. You know, the live, that's the biggest topic right now, Facebook Live and Periscope and things like that. They have it's good for a lot of things too, you know, where you're able to catch things in the moment, things you wouldn't see on television or things that the news didn't catch or won't show until much later. It's a way to get breaking information out. I mean, I've used Facebook Live for clients where we're doing a seminar, or there's a speaker that you want, a keynote that you want to have clips of that show what's happening right now so that more people can attend or more people can come or more people can tune in. So there's a lot of good with it too, but this age in which we feel like everybody, I mean, Twitter, Facebook asks the question, what are you doing? Before you put your post, like yes, where you type in your post, they say, what are you doing? I mean, if you take that literally, I've never answered that question, actually. I don't ever.
Minding my business.
Yeah, exactly. I've never answered that question. But yeah, people take it literally. They want to tell you everything they're doing, every move that they make.
But and one of the things I really see social media as, today's social media is television 30 or 40 years ago, mm-hmm. or the telephone when people were used to seeing each other face to face. And then, you know, of course, when everyone had a telephone, then people stopped trying to spend time face to face because it was so much easier.
Texting.
And so now, now we have, you know, texting, and I think the jury is still out on how people use texting. I know a lot of people complain that they're having long, drawn out, you know, minutes long conversations in texting instead of picking up the phone, which was the substitute for seeing people face to face, which was the substitute for smoke signals and carrier pigeons.
Exactly.
You know,
How do you feel about that? Is that what you could ask?
Well, yeah.
I mean, even with texting and social media, again, you're right. This technology is pushing us further and further away from having true personal relationships with people face to face, right? And creating moments with people. But at the same time, it's also done its job in helping people to reconnect and to find people that you haven't seen in a long time or lost connections with. In those ways, it's good too. This the minute long text and all the text messages back and forth versus, I really can't speak on that because I'm one of those. I don't like to talk on the telephone because
you have such a lovely voice.
Thank you. I don't like talking on the phone. It's just when you're really busy, you have a lot going on or staring you in the face. It's hard to stop what you're doing and pick up the phone. I can send you a text or I can be multitask when I'm texting. So
but
I kinda
long
get that.
Conversations?
Yeah, if I never want to talk to you.
well, see, that's the thing. I mean, if you never want to talk, because, I for one, whether it's inboxing, mm-hmm. yeah, if I'm working and I can inbox you
right.
and I'm multitasking, yes, I mm-hmm. get it. But at some point, I've got to say, pick up the phone.
Right. Just call me.
Yeah, just call
Let's text or inbox to set a time to speak,
Because the reality is that you may be able to write very well, but often tone and mood and emotions are not well conveyed.
Absolutely true.
So
absolutely true.
Well, something to think about. Lauren Reynolds, thank you so much for coming in and sharing with us.
Thank you for having me.
And what's your Twitter handle if you want folks to?
Or
maybe you don't want me.
No, I'm fine. I'm totally public on Twitter. What I said is my name, actually.
What I said is
WHATEYESAID. What I said. Oh. Hit me up.
Lauren Reynolds, thank you so much. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, January 26th. 2017. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or Daily Drum WHUR. Hit me up. I'm off tomorrow. Bramante Bryant will be in tomorrow for me. I'll see you on Monday. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 1.